Blog Talk Radio.
Army of the Lord walk with victory, because the Almighty goes before. When the enemy tries to kill me and try to close the door, I just hide in his presence and my spirit starts to soar. Flying, I'm rising up with wings like an eagle. Don't have to worry, cause the Father declare all evil. Greater is in me than he that's in the world. So I trust him in me, but when things get worse, my hope is in you, my strength is in you. I don't know a little more about you. How the world changed and try to take it from you. Money, relationship, peer pressure in the school. Young boys, young girls, trying to stay pure. But who will teach them when the older ones won't grow? Oh Lord, I wanna be used by you. Oh Lord, I wanna be used by you. When I'm down in my spirit and the need to hear God in the corner, sit and turn on my iPod, tune into a message bringing revelation. Turn off my BlackBerry and no conversation. I seek after the spirit, so I'm a spirit for man. And if I turn away from that, it took more temptation. I'm tired of this body and this tribulation, cause I want my life to affect the next generation. My hope is in you, my strength is in you. I want to know a little more about you. As the world changes and try to take me from you. Money, relationship, air pressure in the pool. Young boy, young girl, trying to stay pure. But who will teach them when the older ones won't go? Oh Lord, I want to be used by you. Oh, oh, it's easy to be caught up in a messy world. More money, more cars, nothing it is worth. I'm a child of God, yes, I'm repping God. Gotta stay holy until the day comes. Even if I don't hear another preacher preach, I know the way and that's the way I will keep. Pressing to the mark of the higher calling, oh, in Jesus. Hope is in you, my friend is in you. But teach me how to know a little more. I humble myself before you, oh Lord, I wanna be used by you. Oh, my hope is in you, my strength is in you. Teach me how to know a little more about you. Jesus, I humble myself before you. Yes, I humble myself before you, oh Lord.
Well, good evening, folks, and praise the Lord. Welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am Brother Mike, your host this evening, and tonight we have a wonderful teaching that is going to be brought to us by Pastor Steve Lee, and the title of that teaching is called At the Root of It All. Amen. So, as always, for those of you who have been listening to us faithfully, I do encourage you, please grab your notebook, get a pencil or a pen, whatever is nearby, and that way you can take notes as we get ready to dive into tonight's teaching on At the Root of It All. Pastor Steve, you now have the mic.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike, again. And so, beloved, let's just go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more as we sojourn in the land of promise by walking in the Spirit from glory to glory, from faith to faith. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victories in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, beloved, this ministry today was birthed out of a testimony, and I'll try to get to the testimony towards the end. And because she brought a scripture, and it just became, again, alive to me. You know, the Holy Ghost wants to put his axe to the root of the tree. That's what Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 4. And a lot of times I find out that we don't deal with the thing from the root. We deal with the leaves. We deal with branches. And I want to find out what's at the root of it all. And it was the way he showed me this, you know, it was just interesting. We all understand that the heart brings forth what's on the inside of it. But we don't always consider the process of how that got into the heart. And I know immediately some of us will say there's one way that it gets into the heart. And I know that. But there is another way. We're going to talk about that today. Some things we plan in our heart, but sometimes we allow things to just seep in. Okay? The heart produces what's in it because of what's around it. And I had never looked at it from this perspective before. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll kind of deal with it. Verse 18 and following. See, because I said that sometimes we plant things in our heart. We do that on purpose. But a lot of times, and probably most of the time, we allow things to seep in. And then we are trying to wonder, how did this happen? You know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm saying what I'm supposed to be saying. And this is not what I'm supposed to be enduring. Okay? Well, again, the heart doesn't lie. Let's look at this in verse 18. He says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And I wasn't really going to start here originally until I kind of look back at it today. You know, it says that the way of the wicked is as darkness. And the people that function in that way, okay? Wickedness, you know, God talks about it and gets us to understand it. And because we want to assess wickedness to anybody other than ourselves. So then we excuse ourselves and accuse everybody else. But he says that there is a way of wickedness, and this way is as darkness. And you can tell that darkness is manifest because they do not know why they stumble. They don't know what's causing the problem. So then I will ask this question about the way of darkness that could be possibly working in our lives, because a lot of times we will say that we don't know how this thing happened to us. Might I submit to you that it's a way of darkness. So I'm not just talking about the event. I'm talking about a way of thinking, a precursor to the thing. Okay? And that's just kind of real. God wants us to be, he has called us to be children of light. And here's the thing. In him, there is no darkness at all. So that means my ways are going to have to be checked out, aren't they? Not the ones I approve of, the ones I don't even think about, the stuff that happens on automatic. See, if I don't really allow God to go into the deep places of my heart, then I'm really not serving him with my whole heart, am I? You know, that has to be a legitimate question. I mean, we hear about Abraham, and Abraham, the Bible says, he was fully persuaded. See, to be fully persuaded means that I have rinsed, washed, and repeated over again. See, I don't have any other way of getting it done. You know, sometimes, you know, we'll give God props when it's working. But when it doesn't work the way we understand that it should work, we might then enter into the way of the wicked. I mean, just kind of circle that for me. You know, the way of the wicked is as darkness. And it causes you to not have clarity in your understanding. Okay? And I promise you, I was just going to kind of like go and start at verse 20. But when I looked at this and saw this, because I'm dealing with what's at the root of it all. Whatever I have confidence in is what I'm going to reach for first. Okay? You know, I've done things. I'm a contractor by a profession, and when I started my whole career, if you would. I started it on Exodus chapters 34 through 38, when it says that God filled people's hearts with wisdom and all manner of workmanship. And so then I said, well, God, since you did that then and you're no respecter person, I simply ask you to do that in my life. And then I began to function by that prayer, all right? So then I would really couple that with Philippians, the fourth chapter, and when it says that I can do all things, the 13th verse, it said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So then I would expect a strengthening to take place in my life. See, I didn't think that I was going to pray and nothing was going to happen. I expected something to happen because there was an amen at the end of my prayer. And I understood that amen means so be it. Amen does not mean so think it. It means so be it. So then at the end of that, my steps from that point, because he said the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, the steps of a good man, see? And so then I began to say, okay, I believe for that, so now I have to take corresponding actions, because faith without works is dead, because it's left alone. It's in the corner somewhere. It's on my Sunday expression. It's not on my Monday execution. It's on a day of worship that doesn't involve my life, because my day of worship and my life, I've separated them. See? That I live one way when I worship God, and on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I live as I got to. See, that is a way that of the wicked. I just want you to get that. See, we're supposed to be those that live every day as unto the Lord, everything that we do, in word or in deed. Come on, y'all. See, if we would adhere to the word of God, it would change things. Because then I won't be double-minded even in my service. See, I won't be double-minded in my approach of God. Come on now. He's talking about the way of the wicked. Please, just so that I get this, he was not talking here about the deeds of the wicked. Okay? He was talking here about the way of the wicked. That's why he asks us to have our mind renewed. Because if I don't have my mind renewed, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you will present or submit yourself this way. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just your spiritual service. And then because you're doing this, then you will not be conformed to this world, but you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove something, so that you will be able to display something, that people will be able to do exactly what they did for John and Peter when it said that they perceived that they were weak, ignorant and unlearned men. They took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Now, I just wonder, is that what our testimony is? That they can tell the way I'm walking and talking comes out of my relationship with Jesus. See, I'm not one way on when I'm worshiping and then another way through my work week. See, that would simply be a way of the wicked. See, if I can't glorify God in everything at all times, then I'm really not glorifying him at all. Come on now. If I'm not glorifying God at all times, I'm not glorifying him at all. That one you can write down. You can circle that one. See, because he's not interested in a double-minded person, is he? Amen. He says things like, I wish you was either cold or hot, but because you are neither cold or hot, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He's not too happy with double-minded thinking, with double-minded execution. You know, he is particularly not pleased being what we would call the good luck charm. You know, I'll flow with God while it's good, but if things go bad, I do have plan B. I threw plan B away a long time ago. It's going to be God's way, or it's not going to work at all. Because, see, I don't want the devil to have that much entrance into my life. I'm trying to deal with Proverbs chapter 4, but these are some things we have to just know. In Galatians chapter 6, he says that you cannot be deceived. That God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. If he sows to the Spirit, he will reap life everlasting. But if he sows to the flesh, he will of the flesh reap corruption. Now, I love the way that's stated. First of all, it was of the flesh, which tells me it's going to be exponential. It was not from his flesh. He that soweth to his flesh will of the flesh. So this thing just became exponential. Secondarily, he said that I would reap corruption. Corruption is a slow process of destruction. See? And you could be in the process of corruption for a long time before whatever was being corrupted fails. But if it was destruction, see, this is the difference between destruction in your mind, you can see, and corruption. Destruction would be like a tornado just hit. Well, there's not much left after the tornado hit. Corruption would be like a hard rainstorm, and you can't see that the leaks and the wood is rotting. You can't see that, but because it continues to rotten underneath the shingles, if you would, inside the wall, if you would, behind a place where you can't see, corruption can take place there, and then because corruption goes unchecked, it'll fail and fall apart. I don't want to give the devil that much room in my life. See, so that's why double-mindedness in my heart just doesn't, I don't have room for that. See, I've got to the place where I'm going to say, this is the way, walk ye in it. See? It's not, this is the way, I hope it works for you. That's not the promise that I have. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Okay? So then I don't have to fashion my life after other people's mistakes. Oh, that's good, Lord. See, unfortunately, that's some of the things that we've done. We have fashioned our lives after other people's mistakes. We will say things like, it worked for them. Paul didn't ask me to do that. Paul said, only follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow me in my mistakes, whatever they might be. Only follow me as I follow Christ. See? That brings it down to a narrow, sharp point, doesn't it? Because he told me that the broad way is going to be the way that leads to destruction. But the narrow way is going to be the way that leads to life everlasting. See? The path of the just shineth as a light that shineth more and more unto a perfect way, a perfect day. But the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they don't know what they're stumbling at. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So he says that I'm supposed to take heed to the words. Attend unto them. I'm supposed to make them important enough to stay in front of my eyes. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep on hearing them. Oh, come on, y'all. I want you to hear verse 20. He did not say, visit my word. He did not say, every once in a while, quote the scripture of the day. See, I'm trying to get us beyond this. Beloved, I am looking for the time when this is going to wrap up, and this cannot wrap up until we look like him. And we will never look like him until we think like him. That's why he said, let this mind be in you. Activate this mind in your life, which was also in Christ Jesus. See? And because Jesus thought like this, because Jesus walked like this, then it was given unto him a name that's above every name. See, we've been invited into that dimension of life that we can utilize the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, demonic activity ceases. It stops. I mean, you can just see that. Time after time after time in the book of Acts. You got to remember, beloved, they didn't have any other thing but fresh revelation, because all they taught was the name of Jesus. That was their revelation, if you would. Okay, nothing else had been developed for them. All they knew is, as you can see, when they got the man that was impotent for 40 years, and he came to the gate that was beautiful, and they said, silver and gold we don't have, but the thing that we do have, all that works for us is the name of Jesus. Such as we have, we're going to give it to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the man got up and walked because the revelation of the name of Jesus was all they needed. But see, we will go and put our lives in subjection to, my pastor believes it this way. Follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say follow your pastor because he's there. See, we've done things with the word of God that we should have never done. See, he's the one that's going to be exalted. I need my pastor. I need the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist. I need them. But they are not a substitute for Jesus. The apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So that which is apostolic is not replacing Jesus in my life. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, they are there to perfect the work. They are not there to make sure you follow them and not Jesus. Come on, y'all. They are there to perfect it. Okay? They didn't start it. It's all hinged on Jesus. They are just those that will come alongside and walk with us in the same path that Jesus walked. See, that's what's at the root of it all. See? He says that I'm supposed to keep my heart with all diligence. If I'm supposed to guard or keep or protect my heart, I then would have to understand everything that comes into my heart and the process by which it got there. If I'm not going to do that, then my question becomes, have I given all diligence? Okay? He said, keep my heart with all diligence. So if I don't know how it got there, then I wasn't too diligent about the protection of my heart, was I? Okay? I just kind of think about that, because a lot of times we look for excuses, okay? And so then we'll say, you know, I'm innocent, God, because I didn't do nothing. Yes, you did. If nothing else, you were not guarding your heart with all diligence. Because if I guard according to this scripture, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, if I keep my heart, guard my heart with all diligence, I will be able to know what issues are coming out. My life, just seeing it here, the issues of my life come out of my heart. If I protect it with all diligence, my issues will be great. Is that correct? I don't think I added anything to that. But if I don't protect it with all diligence, I'm going to have some jacked up issues. And that's basically where most of us endure. Okay? He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given them to us. So then I don't have to go out and earn it. Come on, y'all. I don't have to go out and earn it. I don't have to deserve it. Past tense, he has. That's what it says. Not he's going to. He has given unto us all things that pertain to life. My job is to guard or protect my heart so that the things in my life come out of a guarded or protected heart. Okay? See, because once a thing is planted, germination and fruitfulness must follow. That's why he asks me to protect my heart. Because once a thing is planted in the heart, then germination and fruitfulness is going to be next. Cannot be stopped normally. Okay? And I am not saying that dismissing the ability to curse the fig tree. No, I'm not. See, I am in conjunction with that. First, Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 says, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. Okay? So as long as the earth is here, that's going to happen. And if I find myself in a situation that I was not diligent in a situation where I did not do my part accurately, God made provisions for that, because he says things like, okay, we have a law of nature, and then we have the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. And the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death, from the law of nature. See? So God already took into account our unwillingness to protect our heart diligently. If we would just confess that, he can fix that. because I can enter into, walk through the process of the spirit of life, the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. Okay? Just want you to know that. That's why Jesus walked by that fig tree and cursed that fig tree. See? Because of the law of the spirit of life that was in him. So he was saying, we have to stop doing, that was such a symbolic transition that was taking place, transaction that was taking place. Because that fig tree, if you would, that, you can see, it was not an apple tree that Adam ate from, okay? Because God covered Adam and Eve with the leaves from the tree that Adam ate from. If you know anything about apple leaves, they're not big enough to cover you, okay? I had an apple tree in my yard, and the trees on that thing were very big. They won't even cover my hand. Okay? But fig leaves are big enough to sew together and make a covering. So then when Jesus walked by that fig tree, he was symbolically saying, man has been eating from the knowledge of a tree of good and evil. Okay, that's just so powerful there. I don't know why man all of a sudden wanted to eat from a tree that had bad and good when he was already being sustained by the good. Just me. When I get there, maybe I'll talk to him about it. I don't know. But it me. If I'm enjoying my life, I don't need your suppositions. I'm already enjoying. I didn't say I think I'm enjoying it. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. He wasn't thinking about enjoying his life. He was enjoying his life to the full. Nothing missing, nothing broken, okay? So then the devil came and said, here, let me try this. I can get you to say this because God is keeping something back. And so then for the first time, Adam ate from a tree God told him not to eat from, a tree that was the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life, okay? So then when he was walking to Jerusalem and he saw the fig tree, he straightened out all of the bad things that we had done by eating from a fig tree, okay? He cursed the tree and said, now, man, you don't have to go back to the tree of knowledge of good and evil anymore. Now, man, you can come to the tree of life, and I am the tree of life. Because I am the way, the truth, the life. See? So Jesus was setting things back in order in the spirit. See, and I know sometimes we don't see the spiritual connotation of what was being done, of the transactions that were happening. See? We just thought it was cute for him to be hungry and go and curse a tree because he was hungry. Jesus didn't just do natural things. The Bible tells us that the testimonies of Jesus, the testimonies of Jesus are the spirit of prophecy. So when he was doing anything that was going to be a testimony, prophecy was connected to it. Not just him eating because it was 12 o'clock. He was setting prophecy back in order. Okay? So that the man that he came to redeem, now he redeemed him completely. He didn't leave his mind in a place where it had to go and reach for the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. He left his mind to the place where now he can give his mind, he can activate the mind of Christ that's been given to him. See? So that's why he cursed the fig tree. Okay, God was making a reckoning, if you would, putting things back in order. Okay? So that's why he asks you to do the same thing that Jesus has already made available. He asks you to guard your heart with all diligence, because a diligent heart will produce the issues of a life that can be enjoyed. Okay? I hope you can see this in chapter 4, verse 23. Keep or guard your heart with all diligence. With all diligence. So that means you're going to have to pay attention to why you did a thing. You're going to have to ask scriptural questions. Okay? Don't ask questions in the flesh and then try to answer them in the flesh. Because if I answer a thing in the flesh, I only answer a part of the thing. Because in my flesh, I'm only going to know in part. But my spirit, he says, my brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Hello? So that means he's going to, well, again, the Holy Ghost, when he is come, okay, this is John chapter 14, 26, 15, 26, 16, 13, and Acts chapter 1. Holy Ghost job description, if you would, okay? He says, and when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. To me, the word all means all. Said he will lead you into the truth. Holy Ghost does not just want to lead me unto the truth. He wants to lead me into the truth. See, I'm just hoping that you can see how to weave this together. See? Holy Ghost is going to take me to the place where I don't have to be asking questions. I can have an unction on the inside that teaches me all things. I don't have to align my life. I'm trying to say these things so that you won't get messed up. I don't have to align my life by allegiance to a man, unless it's the man, Christ Jesus. I can align my life by the Holy Spirit, which is going to align spirit to spirit, not flesh to flesh. That's why he says things to us. He says, you're not supposed to know any man after the flesh. Even though you have known Jesus, from now on, you will not know him in the flesh anymore. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's before he told you that you are an ambassador for God. See? He's warning us to really change kingdoms. And the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. And so he's trying to get us to allow our hearts to engage in that kingdom every time, all the time. That's why whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus to give him glory. Because I'm going to allow the Holy Ghost to lead me into truth. Because I will know the truth, become intimate with the truth, and then the truth that I am intimate with will cause my liberty. It will make me free. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of a kept heart are the issues of life that God wants you to enjoy. Okay? If we don't like the process that we started, then we have to learn how to put words of life over the situations that are dead. If I don't like whatever situation I'm in financially, then I need to find the words of life and put them in place of the situations that I allowed to be in my life by not being diligent in understanding what's going on. Okay? The heart allows germination of the seed. The mouth assists in the manifestation of what's in the heart. But one of the most important processes of the whole thing here would be your soil. See, I didn't think about it from that aspect. The heart is going to be flourished or contaminated by the soil. Is that correct? The soil produces the nutrients. The heart germinates the seed. If I've got bad surroundings, which causes my heart to be bad, doesn't trust, then I'm going to produce out of my non-trusting heart the things that are in my life. I'm going to produce out of my fearful heart the things that are in my life. Why? Because that's what's at the root of it, the soil. Okay? The soil regulates things like the appearance, the stability, the virility, the potential and longevity of the seed. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Okay, and we want to look at that. Jesus continued to try to teach us these things and show us these things over and over and over again. But we kind of gloss over or make it a, first of all, it was a parable, okay? And he spoke to us in parables so that he can get us to dig into the truth that was in the parable. Jesus, as he said, search the scriptures. You think that that scripture is what gives you life, but that scripture is where I'm found. I'm discovered in the scripture. Search the scriptures. See? But we don't deal with it. We just kind of go, well, you know, I'm happy with just dealing with it from here, from my perspective. See? And there is a way that seemeth right. Okay, but the end of that way is the ways of death. So Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to let Jesus deal with some things here. See, because I told you that the thing that is as important for the process is the soil or the condition of the soil also. The seed is a good seed. From Jump Street, let's look at this. We know the scripture, it's verse 1, and he began to teach by the seaside, and there were gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered the ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables. Okay, I just want you to know that. He's going to speak to us he's going to speak to us with questions that need to be asked. And those questions need to be answered. You know, if you're going to a ministry and you leave with as many questions as you came there with, something's wrong with the place you're getting fed at. I should go to a place and I should be able to gather information that's going to support life structure for me. Okay? That's what Jesus was doing. He was giving them a word that would support their life structure. And the ones that got it were able to change their lives from being a one of trouble to one of overcoming. And if the more you understand this process, the more your life will look like Jesus. Jesus didn't have issues that could not be resolved because prayer was there. Jesus didn't have none of those issues. In fact, even at Calvary, he made this statement. He said, "Do you not think that I can pray and there will not be 12 legions of angels that would come and take care of this thing right now?" He said, so it's not a matter of me praying. He always hears me. That's what he said at Lazarus' tomb. He said, I know you hear me. But for the sake of these that are here, I want to make demonstration now. It wasn't about him being heard, because after he said, I know you hear me, if you will go study that out, you'll find out he didn't even pray. His next words were a command. They were not, oh, Father, please. That's just interesting. After he said, I know you hear me. See, he knew his connection was solvent. He knew that it was right. since he knew that. See, because his heart was protected. Come on. Out of the issues of a heart that's protected comes the life that you need. Whatever that life is, glory to God. If you would begin to process it and say, okay, this is what's in my heart. It's in my heart on purpose. I placed it there so that I can have confidence that when I ask, that thing is done. I'm not asking and hoping it, well, maybe one day. No. He said, you always hear me. And so the things will know that prayer was not my issue. Connectivity was my issue. And then he said, remove the stone. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he who was dead came out of the grave, bound hand and foot. And Jesus gave them a new commandment because the answer has already been given to you. Every promise is already a yes and an amen. In him, all of the promises, not some of them, all of the promises are yes and amen in him to the glory of the Father by us. See, Jesus was standing in a different place, the place that we've been invited to. He was walking among men that did not know, and he was showing them the way that it's supposed to go. Okay? He was walking in victory. Please, y'all, come on. He was walking in victory. He was not trying to walk unto victory. That's a big difference. See, I'm not trying to get God to do something. He's already said it's finished. I start in victory. Jesus said, I know you hear me. And I want them to know that once you have a connection, isn't that what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14? And this is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petitions desired of him. This is not a guessing game. See? So Jesus is trying to get us to look at, okay, what is the real deal? And he taught them many things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, look into this. There went a sower out to sow. And it came to pass, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth. In fact, do me a favor, just please go back and do that. It says, there was some that fell on what? It fell on good ground. It fell in good soil. All right? I want you to remember that. And because it fell on good soil, it did yield up fruit that sprang up. These are some underlines and circle stuff. It said, it yielded fruit that sprang up. It did not yield fruit that was still hidden. It yielded fruit that sprang up. Glory to God. It yielded fruit that was visible. Come on, y'all. Look at it. Come on, look at it. He said it yielded fruit that was visible in a hurry. It didn't creep up. Somebody help me. It said this fruit sprang up. And not only did the fruit spring up, the fruit increased. And then the fruit brought forth. I want you to kind of underline, circle, stars, highlight, whatever you got to do. These are principles that we should know. As it falls on good soil, the next expectation is that the fruit will be coming up and it will increase and bring forth. And then he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. Another good point. When you hear a word, then you're supposed to go back and spend time and ask Jesus about what you just heard. Let Jesus seal it by his spirit. Okay? He wants to do that. He wants to do that because he knows that the enemy is coming to steal that word. But if Jesus, if you allow Jesus to spend time with you sealing that word cannot be stolen. That word will not be abused now. Because when we don't know what the purpose of a thing is, abuse is inevitable. And so I'll go half quote a promise. I'll go half believe a promise. And then I'll say, it didn't work. Well, did I talk to Jesus about the thing and let him seal that thing in my spirit? When they were alone with him, they asked him about the parable. And then he opened it up. He said to them, unto you, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Okay. I want you to, that's one of again, underline that, highlight that. He said, unto you, it has been given to know. It didn't say unto you, I want you to guess. I want you to beg and plead. He said, no, unto you, it is given to know. Glory to God. And he says, what will you know? You will know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Whew. I mean, once the kingdom has spoken, I can kind of relax because that kingdom word will not return void. Is that not what he said? Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. It says, my word will not return unto me void. So the mystery that comes from the from heaven, the mystery of the kingdom, it has been given unto you to know. But those that are without, okay, those that are, the word there without means those that are on the outside, okay? So now, let's ask a question. Where are you? Notice the people that heard the promise of the kingdom that it was given to them were not people on the outside. They were people that were asking Jesus about what he just revealed to them. They were people on the inside. See? They were people that had expectation to know. You don't ask questions if you don't want to know, do you? Because they asked a question, because they came seeking. Jesus is the one that told us that if we seek, we would find. If we ask, it'll be given to you, to us. If we knock, the door will be open. That's what he wants us to function in that. So then there should not be a time in our life that we don't have an answer. The answer might not be what we thought it was going to be, but the answer that he gives will be accurate. If he tells you to wait and you don't want to wait, the wait is accurate for you. The wait is not against you. The wait is to receive strength because it says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If I did not receive the strength, I should not be trying to do the thing. Okay, a lot of times we go and try to do the thing without receiving the strength. Why do you think he told you, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith, no wavering. But he that wavereth is like the waves of the sea, tossed to and fro. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. An unstable man is a doubtful man. A man with questions is unstable in all his ways. God doesn't want you to be that. He told you, unto you is given. Maybe you should say, unto me is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Because the Bible is written to you. And if you will do what he said, seek him while you are alone. And he says, those that seek him while he is alone, unto you it is given to know the mystery. God's no respecter of persons. These are not historical accounts that we're reading here. This is not history. This is his story. His story is active, a very present help in the time of need. His story is alive. History might not be. He didn't invite you into just history. He invited you into his story. Man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by his story. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, I'm trying to get you into another place, into another dimension here. Because he said, it has been given unto you to know. If it's been given unto you to know, then it's been given unto you to display. Is that correct? Because what you know, you walk in. What you know, you utilize. You do better when you know better. So he's asking you to enter into that so he can display glory through your life. Unto you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to those that are without, things are done in parables. Why? That seeing they may see. But that's not what your lot is, because you've been given the ability to know. Those that are without, that seeing they may not see. They may see and not perceive. That hearing they may hear and not understand. That's not your life. You should see, perceive, and do because you understand. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sin should be forgiven them. And then he said unto them, if you don't know this parable, then you will not know all parables. Stars, underline. I've got to know this parable or everything else that's given as a mystery, I'm going to miss it. Then he breaks the parable down and says, emphatically, the sower sows the word. Glory to God. The word responsible for your life is going to sow a word that contains your life. It's going to sow a word that releases your life. The sower sows, okay, all right. It says in King James, it says the sower soweth the word. Soweth is an active participation. It didn't say the sower has sown the word. Again, I'm invited into his story, not just history. History would have said the sower sowed the word. His story says the sower soweth the word. Active. Now faith is. The sower is sowing right now. Glory to God. All right. If the devil is attacking right now, be it known unto you that the sower is sowing right now. Amen. He's sowing a promise into your life that will bring you out of darkness, that will translate you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son. For the entrance of his word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. See, the sower is sowing the word. Glory to God. Okay? I mean, right there, you've got enough victory in knowing that whatever I'm facing, God is actively sowing a word into my life, into my spirit, that will cause every demonic activity to cease. Because the sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. So supply is not my problem, is it? He just said, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. I want you to understand that. It didn't say the word was just out there somewhere. It said the word was sown in their heart. They didn't understand it. They didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know how to walk in it. So the devil was able to steal it. Okay? And these are they likewise, which were sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. But they have no root in themselves, and they endure only for a time. Afterwards, after what? After the word was sown. So, we're going to deal with this so that you understand that the word that was sown, the devil comes to steal the word. He does not come to pick on you. Okay? The devil don't care nothing about you. He only wants the word. Because with the word, you can defeat him. With the word, you can undo all of the things that he has set up. Because God sent a word to heal you and to deliver you from ALL, from all of your fears and your destructions. So he doesn't care about you. He doesn't want you to keep the word. They heard the word and they were happy about the word. And then because they didn't have any root in themselves, then they only endured before a time, because after that, they heard the word, affliction, persecution ariseth for the word's sake. So I want you to take a piece of paper. We're going to show you the only five things that the devil can use to get the word out of your heart. And what he's going to do in this process is he's trying to sow into your heart, into your soil. Let's start with the soil first. He's going to sow into your soil persecution, affliction. Write that down. The reason that affliction and persecution came was because the word was sown. So the first two things he's going to use to get the word out is going to be affliction or persecution. You're going to start going through stuff, and you're going to think like everybody else thought. It wasn't this bad before I heard the word. It only got worse. No, what it got was under attack, because the path for victory is the word that was sown in their heart. Okay? I want you to know that. Look at it very carefully. Go back and study this. This is the one you got to know, or nothing else really makes sense. So the first two lines of offense that he's going to take is going to be persecution and affliction. And the only reason it's there, it arises for the word's sake. Guard your heart. Protect your heart with all diligence, because out of a heart that has a word that is alive, the issues of life flow freely and good. Okay? Then verse 18, he goes on to explain. These are they which were sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Again, there was a sowing. The sower soweth the word, and the person heard the word. But what happened? Verse 19, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So first it's going to be affliction or persecution. Next, it will be the cares of this world. If you will look at this, persecution and affliction come at you. okay? They are aimed at you to get the word out. Then the next two comes from you. The cares of this world, those are your cares. Rent. Okay? Car note. It says that you pick up those cares rather than going back and protecting the word. He's only coming to steal the word, and he's going to use two things coming at you, affliction or persecution. Or he's going to use what you care about, the cares of this world, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Okay? And if that doesn't work, then he will use the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches would include they not having it so bad like me. If I had their money, I'd be okay. That is, bottom line, the deceitfulness of riches. Your God delivers you. Your job does not deliver you. Your bottom line is not how your deliverance happens. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You didn't work for mercies, glory to God. You can't earn mercies. So the reason that you're not consumed is not because of your bottom line. That would be the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. That would be deadlines and timetables. By now, I should have been married. By now, I should have my own house. All right, you just left the side that said, I'm trying to pay for my house, pay for my rent. You just left that one. But here comes the one, by now, I should be in my own house. I should have my own husband. See? Those are the lusts of other things. And notice what happens. These things seep in. They enter in. Okay, please look at this. If it was a flood application, that wouldn't be an entering in. That would be an overcoming, wouldn't it? When a flood stage happens, whatever was under the flood, that was overcoming. Entering in has the connotation of it seeping a little bit at a time. There is a soaking in of it, if you would. Okay, and it says that when this process happens, that you have these five things, persecution, affliction, cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, they begin to choke the word, and the word becomes ineffective. You start trying to make sure you have plan B in operation because plan A is some kind of way not working. Well, if plan A is not working, if the word is not working, I would submit to you it's because of the five things that the devil has used to make the word inoperative. Persecution, affliction, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Please notice that the word did not die. It just became unfruitful. It became to you unuseful because you chose not to use it. You know, the power of God is so great that the Bible says he quickens the dead. He brings to life things that are dead. He brings to life that which was not useful and makes it useful. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. He made me who was not being useful, even to myself, and he made me useful in the ministry. Because he makes dead things come to life. Glory to God. He breathes life into things that were not functioning. See? Because I tap into the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. That was the law that said to Lazarus, get up, boy. And Lazarus came. Come on now. Lazarus got up and he was still bound. But the word of God to Lazarus made him move even in a situation that was normally unmovable from. The man was still bound up. Glory to God. And then God gave different instructions, because the dead thing, which is now alive, he says, now loose him and let him go. That same promise is available for you. Because the sower soweth the word. And then, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. I mean, I want you to see the soil conditions there. The unprotected soil, that was where the word was just allowed to fall anywhere. It fell by the wayside. See? It was unprotected. Then you had a unprepared soil. They received it. They were glad that something was happening, but they didn't know why. They had no root in themselves, and so they endured but for a season. And then afterwards, because of persecution and affliction, they were offended, because they said, I thought this was going to be my answer. I thought this was going to be my breakthrough. It is your breakthrough. The sower soweth the word. See, they did as little work as possible. They didn't till the ground. They didn't break up the fallow ground. They had no preparation. They were just happy that the word is going to work. The word, not you, baby, you're going to have to work the word. You're going to have to cause it to be integrated into your heart, into your life, into your mind. You're going to have to work the word. You're going to have confidence in the word. You're going to have to cause it to be the thing you reach for instead of plan B. I only reach for the word. I know this is where my deliverance. I look unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. See, I work that in. That God is for me. And since God is for me, what can be against me? I work the word into my life. I work the word into the situation so that every time I look, all I see is the word. I no longer see the attack. I no longer see the problem. I see my provision. I see my way out. And it becomes so prevalent to me that this is the way I have to walk in. It becomes so prevalent to me that I begin to ignore the things that the devil was trying to set up. I know they are vain imaginations, and they shall not come to pass. I don't even have time to engage in fear, because I've been the one that has perfect love, and perfect love simply casts out all fear. See, not some fear. Bless God, it casts out all fear. See? That's just what we have to get to, the place where we function from that. God wants us to enjoy victory. See? He wants us to look at the devil and tell the devil, come on. He wants us to tell the devil, get thee behind me, Satan. Glory to God. See, the devil's supposed to be under your feet. He's not supposed to be all up in your head, in your thoughts. He has no business. Well, I'll even say this. The devil has no business in your future. He can only deal from your past. Come on, y'all. He has no business in your future. My future is of my God. My times are in his hands. See? The devil has no business in my future. The third type of soil. Well, the first was unprotected, unprepared, and unsure would be the third one. Because you didn't have no root in yourself. Okay? You weren't sure. There was no substance there. You was hoping and wishing. Come on, y'all. Y'all know that hoping and wishing has never produced what you wanted to have. It might have given you the ability to ignore a problem for a minute, but I'd rather have the answer to the problem than to work on ignoring it. Come on, y'all. You overcome evil with good. You don't overcome evil with a hope, a wish. You overcome evil with good. Substance. Faith is not just a hope. It's substance. It goes beyond. You remember that Abraham, against hope, believed in hope. Okay. So if it works, that's good. If it works, it works. If it don't, it wasn't meant to be. That's not the way you're supposed to. You didn't guard your heart with all diligence. If that's your construct, that's not a heart that is guarded, that has diligence in its guarding. The fourth one would be unwilling, because we allowed other things to take first place in our heart. The word gets pushed out. The word gets pushed aside, and other things seep in. See, the devil is not just trying to come in and just ramshod you. He's going to come in a little bit at a time. He's going to come in by your agreement. I want you to catch that. The enemy comes in by your agreement. Whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loose. The devil comes in by your agreement. Okay? We allow things to push the word out, and those things now seep in. They come in the place of God. They come in the place of faith. They come in the place of love. See? You're supposed to have prepared soil. Good ground. Hear the word. That means you rehearse it. You meditate on it. You envision it. You receive the word. You own it. You arrange it. You put it in its proper place. You know, when you own something, you put it in a place where you reach for it. When something's yours, you put it right there where you can get it, where it's going to be convenient for you. You don't put the word, come on now, you don't put the word on display on worship service time. That's not convenient to you. I need the word on Monday. I need the word on Tuesday. I need to put it in a place where it's convenient for me so I can reach when the attack comes. I can reach the word and say, good, I can use the sword of the Spirit. Well, I can, come on, I can be an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. I can have my defensive weapon, the shield of faith. I can have another defensive weapon. I'll be thinking correctly. So I have to put the thing in order. I have to own it. I have to possess it. See? I have to arrange it, put it in its proper place. I don't know what the proper place would be in your life. You might be one that would praise first and then pray. You need to put the word in its proper place in your life. I can't tell you to just start praying if you haven't praised, if that's the way you do it, and that's the way you understand it. You might not prophesy until after you get through with praise and prayer. I don't know. To me, I can do them interchangeably. But if that's not what's comfortable for you, then put it in its proper place in your life. Have thou faith? Have it to yourself before God. See, you don't fashion your life after me. You ask God, is this the place it should be in my life? And he will say yes, and he will respond to you because it's in its proper place. Once you have prepared soil and rehearse and meditate and envision it, once you own it and arrange it and put it in its proper place, right, that's receiving it. You got good ground. You hear the word. You receive it. Next thing, it should bring forth fruit. You should expect, expand, and enjoy. That's you. We're getting to the root of the thing now. It's been stated that people would say, if you want to change the fruit, change the root. Well, I would submit to you that if you change your soil, you will affect the root. See? Our job is to resist the weeds that come up quickly, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. The devil is the father of lies. Where does he plant those seeds? He plants them in the soil of your life. Things that are in your past, your disappointments, your frustrations, your fears, your doubts. He steals the promise of God and he sells you a lie. He gets you the ability to create a place for compromise, a place for failure. His future depends on your agreement. If the condition of your soil is filled with love and faith and joy and peace and the power of the Holy Ghost, his future will be unproductive and short-lived. So that's why God, he doesn't like mingled seed. So he wants you to serve him with your whole heart. So I'm asking you to check the soil around. Proverbs chapter 23 tells us, verses 1 through 7, says that when you are at a table, you're sitting down, and somebody presents something that's not good, if you are a man given to appetite, cut your throat. Don't eat that meal. See, that's what God is asking us to do, wanting us to participate in. See, he wants us to be able to think right, because right after you get through, cut your throat, that's why he says in 23:7, it says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. All that came in preparation of you making the condition of your soil right. If you eat bad fruit, if you got bad soil, you're listening to people you shouldn't be listening at. You're in company that does not edify God. You got worry warts, and you hang with the worry warts. He said, stop eating at that table. Cut your throat. Don't desire his meats. Put a knife to your throat. Cut it off. God is wanting us to get to the place where his glory is revealed, his glory is seen, his glory is enjoyed by us, because we are preparing the soil so that the seed can grow, be fruitful, multiply, bring forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But the choice is yours. What will it take for you? Continued frustration and an inability to function in life? God's waiting on you. Your way or God's way? Father, we just thank you and we bless you for your word that you sent to heal us and deliver us. Thank you, Father, that as we apply the word day by day, walk it out in your presence, find the order that you want us to function in, and then put it in place and do that consistently, diligently, guard our hearts so that we can bring forth fruit unto you, that we would function in righteousness as normal. Thank you, Father, for causing us to see how to do it, for causing us to want to do it, and then helping us to do it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and get ready. Open up the lines for commentary on tonight's teaching. Score the area code 404.
453. 404, 453. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
Well, looks like they dropped. Amen.
Okay.
All right, Pastor Steve. Well, that looks like that was the end of the callers in the room here.
All right.
Is there anything else you would like to close out on before we bring the broadcast to an end?
Well, no, I just go back and please go back and study Proverbs chapter 4. Go back and study Mark chapter 4. Because he said, if you don't get this one, yeah, the rest of it don't even matter. I didn't get to the testimony. I might be able to go back. And I got about 12 more scriptures here, and I'll see if God will have us to go back into this and then bring the testimony, because the thing that she said was the thing that prompted this whole teaching. So go back and do Mark chapter 4 and Proverbs chapter 4 and make them staples in your lives. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, we would like to thank you for your continued support of Live Deliverance here on blogtalkradio.com. If you have been blessed by the teachings that you've heard here, please sow a seed at www.livedeliverance.com. There you can click on the Donate tab. And if you also want to go back and listen to any of the broadcasts that you've heard here, you can do so at blogtalkradio.com/livedeliverance. And you can just go there, and you'll be able to access all of the archives on this radio station. With that being said, if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here live next week on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone. Have a good night and have a blessed week. Amen.
Amen. Shalom.